Kappa program Friday, January the 29th. Dr. S.A. Newman speaking.
I know all of you will pause with me to acknowledge in this quiet moment the death of a colleague and comrade, George Waller, on yesterday morning. And the word has just come that the funeral is to be at 3:30 p.m. Saturday at the Trinity Baptist Church of Mineral, Virginia. The body is now at Woodward Funeral Home in Louisa, Louisa, Virginia. This note is added from close associates and fellow students. The family of five children are greatly in need of money rather than flowers. That comes not from the family, but from some of us here who will know, I'm sure, how to govern ourselves accordingly. Let us, in this quiet moment, turn aside from all other considerations to engage in a moment of prayer. Let us be called to worship today by this ancient affirmation. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God.
Thank you.
And as we continue our worship, will you join me in the responsive reading of selection number 96? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. May the Lord bless us today as we think on these things. takes but a moment's reflection for us to realize how drab and dull would be these moments of meditation each day if it were not for the inspiration that comes to us in the experience of music. I'm quite comfortable this morning in these few moments that I spend with you to be bracketed literally by music from the organ, and immediately after these few remarks, by music from our choir. In between these two experiences, which we engage upon, I'm taking the liberty today to select two passages, not lengthy at all, from the early and late portions of the work by Kierkegaard entitled Fear and Trembling. I give him full credit for some incisive remarks for my own benefit and for our devotional today. The first section, which comes from near the beginning of the book, obviously, is entitled by this strange man, Preliminary Expectoration. And though somewhat amusing to us because of the rather obvious use that we make of that term expectorate, I think the root idea of the word in his language as well as in our own would be, perhaps expressed by the colloquial expression, some things that I'll get off my chest. That may be a strain on our common usage of the word. But he calls this preliminary expectoration, and then some things by way of epilogue, and a brief paragraph from each section, if you please. An old proverb fetched from the outward and visible world says, quote, only the man that works gets the bread, end of the quotation. Strangely enough, this proverb does not aptly apply in that world to which it expressly belongs, for the outward world is subjected to the law of imperfection, and again the experience is repeated that he too who does not work gets the bread, and that he who sleeps gets it more abundantly than the man who works. In the outward world, everything is made payable to the bearer. This world is in bondage to the law of indifference, and to him who has the ring, the spirit of the ring is obedient, whether he be Nuruddin or Aladdin, and he who has the world's treasure has it, however he got it. It is different in the world of spirit. Here an eternal divine order prevails. Here it does not rain both upon the just and the unjust. Here the sun does not shine both upon the good and upon the evil. Here it holds good that only he who works gets the bread. Only he who was in anguish finds repose. Only he who descends into the underworld rescues the beloved. Only he who draws the knife gets Isaac. He who will not work does not get the bread, but remains deluded. There is a knowledge which would presumptuously introduce into the world of spirit the same law of indifference under which the external world sighs. It counts it enough to think the great. Other work is not necessary. But therefore it doesn't get the bread, it perishes of hunger, while everything is transformed into gold. And what does it really know? One time in Holland, when the market was rather dull for spices, the merchants had several cargoes dumped into the sea to peg up the prices. This was a pardonable, perhaps a necessary device for deluding people. Is it something like that we need now in the world of the Spirit? Are we so thoroughly convinced that we have attained the highest point that there is nothing left for us but to make ourselves believe piously that we have not got so far just for the sake of having something left to occupy our time? Is it such a self-deception the present generation has need of? Does it need to be trained to virtuosity in self-deception, or is it not rather sufficiently perfected already in the art of deceiving itself? Or rather, is not the real thing most needed an honest seriousness which dauntlessly and incorruptibly points to the task an honest seriousness which lovingly watches over the task, which does not frighten men into being over hasty in getting the highest task accomplished, but keeps the task young and beautiful and charming to look upon, and yet difficult withal and appealing to noble minds. For the enthusiasm of noble natures is aroused only by difficulties. Whatever the one generation may learn from the other, that which is genuinely human, no generation learns from the foregoing. In this respect, every generation begins primitively, has no different task from that of every previous generation, nor does it get further, except insofar as the preceding generation shirked its task and deluded itself. This authentically human factor is passion, in which also the one generation perfectly understands the other and understands itself. Thus, no generation has learned from another to love. No generation begins at any other point than at the beginning. No generation has a shorter task assigned to it than had the preceding generation. And if here one is not willing, like the previous generation, to stop with love but would go further, this is but idle and foolish talk. But the highest passion in man is faith. And here no generation begins at any other point than did the preceding generation. Every generation begins all over again. The subsequent generation gets no further than the foregoing, insofar as this remained faithful to its task and did not leave it in the lurch. That this should be wearisome is, of course, something the generation cannot say, for the generation has, in fact, the task to perform and has nothing to do with the consideration that the generation had the same task, unless the particular generation or the particular individuals within it were presumptuous enough to assume the place which belongs by right only to the spirit which governs the world and has patience enough not to grow weary. If the generation begins that sort of thing, it is upside down. And what wonder then that the whole of existence seems to it upside down? For there surely is no one who has found the world so upside down as did that tailor in the fairy tale, who went up in his lifetime to heaven and from that standpoint contemplated the world. If the generation would only concern itself about its task, which is the highest thing it can do, it cannot grow weary, for the task is always sufficient for a human life. When the children on a holiday have already got through playing all their games before the clock strikes 12 and say impatiently, "Is there nobody can think of a new game?" Does this prove that these children are more developed and more advanced than the children of the same generation or of a previous one who could stretch out the familiar games to last the whole day? Or does it not prove rather that these children lack what I would call the lovable seriousness which belongs essentially to play? Faith is the highest passion in a man. There are perhaps many in every generation who do not even reach it, but no one gets further than faith. Whether there be many in our age who do not discover it, I will not decide. I dare only appeal to myself as a witness, who makes no secret that the prospects for him are not the best. But for the man who does not so much as reach faith, life has tasks enough, and if one loves them seriously, life will be no mean or wasted thing, even though it never is comparable to the life of those who sensed and grasped the highest. But he who reaches faith, it makes no difference whether it be a man of distinguished talents or a simple man, does not remain standing staring at faith. Yea, he would be offended if anyone were to say this of him, just as the lover would be indignant if one said that he remained standing staring at love. For he would reply, quote, "I do not remain standing by any means. My whole life is in this thing." end of the quotation. Let us pray. We are thy children, our Father, bought with a very precious price, and the high privilege of standing within that aura of faith, which we dare not take for granted, but which we accept as the high privilege of a whole lifetime and all the prospects of our hope forever. We come within that knowledge and awareness this morning to pray for ourselves who stand so very much in need of what thou canst do for us and what faith can make of us if we will. Help us to see that for each of us there is really the responsible task of being thy child. In this respect, we enjoy no proxies, and we cannot become professional. We stand, each one as he is, undergirded by the foundations of thy love and grace, and led into those ways by the inspiration of thy mercy and love. Let us quit ourselves, therefore, as becoming those who understand and feel that there is enough in all of this for a lifetime. Amen. Peace be unto you and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.